comrades. It's Monday. It's time to kick the month of February right in the butt and out the door. March comes on us tomorrow, and March always, here in the Southland at least, brings about the flowering of all the trees, the dumping of pollen, for those of you that it abuses, and it's the time of the year when we can actually get into gardening again, which I'm thinking is going to become a national pastime in America, so you better bone up on it. Are you going to do any gardening this year, dear?
Yes. In fact, John and I were enjoying our hot morning beverages Saturday morning and sitting outside surveying our rented piece of earth and discussing what we were going to be putting in the ground and all that kind of enthusiasm that comes with the spring. And I love how early things warm up here in Austin, though word to the wise is don't put anything in the ground unless you anticipate the necessity of covering it up, because it might freeze once more in the month of March. But the average daily temperatures in March here, Jerry, is around 70 or 71.
It's going to be up in the 70s here today, although we're going to get some bodacious rain, they're telling us. But you know, our peach trees and our nectarines and our, and in particular, our apricots, or apricots, depending on what part of the country you're from, they are going nuts. And Elaine come charging in the house yesterday afternoon. She says, "You'll never believe this." I said, "What will I never believe?" There's a flipping mockingbird in our apricot trees plucking off the blossoms and throwing them off on the ground.
What?
Yes, a mockingbird. And she said, "You know, I used to like mockingbirds, and now I think I've got a very, very dismal opinion of them." and you know, when you garden, and I guess when you, what do they call it when you raise fruit trees? Is it orcharding? Is that the word? I've never heard it before, but it seems to fit.
Jerry, I'm flattered that you imagine I would have this knowledge.
Oh, okay. Well, it just seems as though that you're up against nature, and nature gets things out like rabbits and squirrels and now mockingbirds to sort of mock your efforts. And when you grow stuff in the garden, you're up against some of the same culprits, the rabbits and the squirrels, but now add the panoply of insect life that is bound and determined to ruin and cause devastation to that which you've put so much hard work into. Now, I guess it's worse for people like my wife and I, because we don't use herbicides and pesticides. We try to go the natural way because we think that that's ultimately more beneficial for the food that we eat, and of course the food that we give to other people as a result of our surplus. And you know, it's a nice feeling to know that when we do give people produce out of our garden, that it is wholesome. And, you know, they might find a bug, they might find a worm in a tomato, but it's not something that they've got to worry about being contaminated with God knows what.
It's a clean bug.
It's a clean bug. You can eat off of him.
Only extra protein and no extra charge.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Elaine and I went to that huge local charity event this past weekend. They called it the Empty Bowl, and it raises money for the local soup kitchen. And what they do is they, all of the associated groups around here that are somehow or another involved in pottery make bowls of all sorts of descriptions, because it can be actually a bowl to an ashtray, but they make these things up by the hundreds, maybe even by the thousands, and once a year they put these things on sale. You walk in the door and you pony up $10 and you get a bowl of soup and some bread and some nice company and normally a little bit of entertainment, but this Sunday afternoon it was huge. I have never seen such a crowd, and they ran almost out of bowls, which they've never done in the times that we've gone in the past. We're going to cut away to our first break, and when we come back, it'll be time for Hit and Run News.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans, thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation, but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, I think we ought to start off the program today, Monday, with an item related to what's going on in the American federal government. Now, although this is the result of mere gamesmanship, and I hope you guys realize that, because this sort of scenario has played out a few times in the past, the federal government, once again, is preparing for shutdown. And that's, of course, if the debt ceiling is not raised. Don't bet against that, okay? Of course, in government speak, shutdown doesn't mean shutdown. Approximately 25% of government employees, those who perform unessential services, would be placed on furlough. They would later be paid for not working, of course, because that's what's happened in the past. Now, of course, not all agencies would be affected. Social Security checks would still go out. Troops would remain at their posts spread out all over the known world. And virtually every essential government agency, sort of like the list of who's who, the FBI, the Border Patrol, and even the Coast Guard, would remain operational. Less than 50% of the 2.1 million federal workers subject to a shutdown would be forced off the job if the Obama administration copies Presidents Reagan and Clinton when faced with similar scenarios. And that's not even counting the 600,000 Postal Service employees entirely exempt from a shutdown. The following following services would continue uninterrupted. The air traffic control system, food inspection, Medicare, veterans health care, even Social Security Administration would continue to send out benefits and even take applications. And of course, the federal courts would remain open. curiously, the IRS won't be answering its taxpayer hotline, however, and that's at the height of tax filing season. Under IRS precedents, the agency would only process tax returns that contained payments. Those people looking to get a refund would simply have to get in line. The vacuum cleaner function, of course, would continue to run. If the federal government is shut down for several days, the Census Bureau would likely miss its April 1 deadline to provide 2010 redistricting data to the states. By the March 4th deadline, the Bureau expects it will have distributed the data to roughly about half of the states. The big states, such as California, New York, and Florida, potentially will be left hanging if the government closes down. So, but don't bet on that, because, like I said, we've seen it in the past, and, you know, they rush up, and it's a bunch of hoopla and much ado about nothing, quote, Will Shakespeare. And I suspect that that's exactly what we're going to see this time around, Tea Party or no Tea Party. Hide and watch. Back to you, dear.
You know what's fun, Jerry, is that Rasmussen Reports put out a national telephone survey. And it found that 33% of likely U.S. voters would rather have Congress avoid a government shutdown by authorizing spending at the same levels as last year. However, 58% said it's better to have a partial shutdown until Democrats and Republicans can agree on what spending to cut. So I thought that was interesting that 58% were in favor of the partial shutdown. It went on to state.
What was the first statistic?
33% said to continue spending at last year's levels.
Hmm. I guess that's all those people that are worried about their ox getting gored. What do you think?
Yeah, probably. 58% of Democrats preferred avoiding a shutdown by going with current spending levels. 80% of Republicans and 59% of voters not affiliated with either party think a shutdown is a better option than continuing with current spending levels. 80% of Republicans.
Well, you know what?
Did you see the Tea Party results roll in, Jerry, on their straw poll for president? Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
49% of the vote went to Ron Paul.
49% of the people in the Tea Party? That's pretty cool. But you know, the people here in Carrollton in the local Tea Party and Carroll County Tea Party weren't even aware that Ron Paul's the one that got the Tea Party idea kicked off.
Yeah, so, that surprised me. But
I'm not sure what your statistic actually says, although I'm very enthused with that number.
Well, here's my point. If 80% of Republicans favor the shutdown, 59% of non-affiliated voters favor the shutdown, Tea Party movement, 49% just voted for Ron Paul for president. My point is the hierarchy in the Republican Party to command the submission of the conservative movement in favor of their version of big government is not working. That's my
point. Oh,
yeah. It's just not
working. You know, You still have a bunch of reprobates inside the GOP, dear, that aren't paying any attention to that. And as a matter of fact, are trying to demean and obscure the fact that Dr. Paul's gaining a little bit of inertia.
You know, well, yeah. This is really interesting stuff. The federal government was last partially shut down for 5 days in 95 and 21 days in 96. In both cases, CNN reported that the stock market moved higher.
You know what would be really cool, dear, is if for it to shut down for an extended period of time and for everybody to realize that they're better off because of it.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
No more eating out of your substance, boys and girls. That I think would be a plus.
Let's look at this. 84% of voters say they are following news reports about the federal budget debate at least somewhat closely, while 49% stated they are following it very closely. That's amazing. This well, is, it's really gotten the attention of the sleepy public. I'm enthusiastic. Okay, well, I guess I should move on because Hit and Run News is running away. I got this email last week from one of my friends at church.
And you read it?
Emily, I know. Wonders never cease, Jerry.
Wow.
You noticed that I left my computer after the show Friday and did not come back to my computer until about 8:30.
Dear, I'm still waiting for responses to emails I sent you last year.
Look how optimistic you are. Well, John had been out of town. You know, we'd been gone for 3 weeks, and John was gone all week. And I've kind of just made a personal decision that I'm not going to be on my computer on the weekend. So John is on the computer a lot on the weekend, and I get my news from him. Well, we were following this story because one of the protest activists, or one of the activists out of the Ron Paul movement here in Austin, had decided to host a counter program. The police department in Austin, which is totally lawless, as we all know, for the second year in a row, they were doing a guns for grocery cards program. Well, this is awesome. This particular activist launched a counter program on Saturday that was incredibly successful. And I'm just going to read this story that was on deprogram.net. Countering propaganda is kind of the theme of this website. Today, this story was put out February 27th. Today in Austin, Texas, activists were successful in buying trunks full of usable firearms that would have otherwise been destroyed or ended up in the hands of the quote-unquote terrorists. And we have seen before how cops confiscate guns and resell them to cartels. About 40 gun buyers, both independent and otherwise, stood in front of the Austin Police gun buyback event offering cash for the guns they were about to turn into the city for food cards. As people rolled up, we approached them with our offers and paid them hard cash after inspecting the guns to make sure they were operable. The police were unbelievably cooperative in the process. I ended up, the author of this article, with a 9mm for a fraction of what it would cost at a gun shop. Media was in attendance, both local and international. They did seem somewhat confused by our direct action, as did some of the citizenry trying to turn in their guns. About 50% chose to sell them to us rather than the police. Some simply sold broken guns for $100 worth of food. Think cash for clunkers, but with guns. Your tax dollars at work, folks. It's not so funny that starving people turn in their guns, not criminals. Pop-Tarts do not protect life, liberty, and property. These were the signs the author held. Near the end, the police ran out of food cards and were asking people to give them their guns for free. We were there till the end, buying all we could. I estimate about $3,000 to $4,000 was spent by our group. The weapons will go to those who otherwise cannot afford a firearm, and they will pledge to do some service for the community and freedom in exchange for the weapon. Thanks to Texans for Accountable Government, for organizing the event, and to all who stood in the rain holding signs and offering an alternative to the city buyback program. Recycle your freedom tools. This article was by Jack Blood.
Do you see any local news coverage of that?
I don't have a television.
Well, if you hear any local news coverage or anything, anybody reporting to you.
Which was talking about it, which doesn't surprise me. And we had... The children have cello lessons first thing on Saturday morning. And also a chunk of I-35 was shut down over the weekend. And then we had an event that kept us tied up for the rest of the day. So I didn't see any local media on it. But I have reason to believe they did report on it, especially because this author, Jack, was saying that everybody was there in full swing.
Okay. Well, I think we're going out on another break here, dear. And I've got some other news items that I want to bring to our listeners when we come back. But you know, guys, this is a participatory show. And if you want to participate, you can give us a call at 1-800-313-9443. I want to talk when we come back about what's going on with the dollar index and how we've broken through support at 77. which has been touted by some of the pundits.
The Perculite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Perculite, with its exclusive black Perky filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Perculite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Perculite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Comrades, as I was saying before we broke away there just a moment ago, we have passed what is supposed to be a milestone number on the dollar index, that being 77. Now, it is actually repaired a little bit this morning, but we're still down below that 77 mark that everybody has basically said is a jumping off place for the crash of the dollar in relationship to other fiat currencies in the world, and that it would bode awfully damaging for the American currency going forward. Now, as a sidelight, the Bank of India will be the first Indian bank to directly convert their own domestic currency, that being rupees, into Chinese renminbi for businesses that want to bypass the U.S. dollar. Many traders no longer consider the dollar to be a stable currency. You think? The process has been facilitated by a recent memorandum of understanding signed between the Reserve Bank of India and the Chinese Central Bank to enhance the banking relationship between the two giant neighbors. Here's another indication, and there's a backdrop here, and I don't know if you remember me talking about this previously, but that's that Shanghai Cooperation organization that is behind this. And what we're seeing is these people are backfilling, protecting themselves from dollar exposure. And you know, there's an article out this morning that I saw that actually addresses the fact that China is not the largest holder of American government debt. Now, they don't exactly tell the truth in the article, as I saw this morning. They say that a domestic private banks are the ones sitting on United States government debt. But we all know that what they're really saying is it's the Federal Reserve System who, when you lump all the treasury notes, the treasury bonds, the treasury bills, and all of the individual agency debt that the Federal Reserve holds, when you lump all that together, they are the largest single debt holder of the federal government's indebtedness. And I think it's fairly safe to say that because of that, they've got our government, they've got our entire country, the international gang banksters, that is, have got our country by the short hairs, and we're all reaping that whirlwind, aren't we? All right, dear, back to you.
All right. Well, I wanted to give a little update on what Homeland Security and TSA has up their sleeve, because you would think that the naked body scanners was enough, Jerry. And you are so wrong. If anybody wants to check this story out, go to thedaily.com, thedaily.com. And the title of this article is Genetic Pat Down. Katie Drummond put the article out. Airport scanners already can get under your clothes, but federal officials aren't stopping there. They want your genes too. This summer, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security plans to begin testing a portable DNA scanner. The device, which has not yet been unveiled but reportedly resembles a desktop printer, is expected to make genetic tests far more common, particularly in matters related to refugees, human trafficking, and immigration. As the technology is commercialized, some experts believe it will soon make its way into everyday medical and law enforcement situations. With nothing more than a swab of saliva, security officials can use the device to obtain genetic intel in less than an hour. The results reveal personal details about one's ethnicity, race, and lineage. Current DNA tests can take several weeks. This can be done in real time with no technical expertise, Richard Seldon, the executive chairman of NetBio, the company that devised the scanners, told The Daily. DNA information has the potential to become part of the fabric of day-to-day life, and this facilitates that process. The machine also cuts the cost of a single DNA test from $500 to under $100. Christopher Miles, the biometrics program manager in the DHS Office of Science and Technology, said at a conference last week on biometrics and security. It's the same process that occurs in the lab today, he said, according to NextGov, a site covering technology and government, but it will drastically make the system more efficient. Thousands of prospective American residents could soon encounter the screening device. Officials hope to combat human trafficking and illegal immigration by using DNA tests to confirm relationships among immigrating families and foreigners giving their children up for adoption. But the device might also have myriad other applications. Pinpointing criminals and missing persons are also options for future use of the device, Miles said. Jim Harper, the director of information policy studies at the Cato Institute and a member of the DHS Privacy Committee, called the technology a game changer and one that officials are rolling out hastily. There's going to be a rapid migration into collecting more DNA from more people, he said. We're plunging into the unknown here. The DHS mandates a policy of supporting the commercialization of new technology. With the introduction of rapid DNA scanners in a federal setting, a new commercial marketplace for the devices is an inevitable result, Harper said. Indeed, Seldon told The Daily that the device can be tailored for emergency rooms, food safety tests, and law enforcement, in addition to federal agencies. He anticipates commercialization within the year.
So we're swapping out, show me your papers for let me swab your mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully when the government shuts down, that program will be the first to go.
Well, you know, this isn't exactly a new deal. Your Pentagon, comrades, has been collecting DNA for some time and has created a military database. And we're jumping from 30 to 10. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Freedom Frenzy. Yeah, Jerry, I was all done with that story on the DNA issues. And of course, we need to remember that George W. Bush, in an executive order, opened up a department of the FBI for infant DNA profiling so that when you had tests done, especially the PKU blood test done on your infant, automatically the FBI confiscated the DNA data from that blood sample and put it into the database for the country. Of course, no one knew about it. Didn't get much publicity. And another one of the underhanded things that George W. Bush did against the American populace. So we need to be very concerned about this DNA profiling that's going on.
Oh, I agree, dear. And kind of as a caboose to your story, I think we ought to recognize, satirically, of course, that some misguided and untrusting people, unappreciative of the true benevolence of their leaders, have filed lawsuits when they learned that their government, in an interest to safeguard their offspring, of course, had been collecting DNA from babies and storing it in an ultra-secure military database. The fact that DNA screening is being rolled out right now and in an open fashion heralds a new chapter of protection for the people of the homeland, you know. Let's set that satire aside for just a moment, and I still need to speak directly to you, those of you that at least care enough to be listeners of RBN and of this program, for instance. To a considerable extent, DNA collection already has become part of the fabric of day-to-day life in America. Police here have been given the authority to conduct warrantless searches going all the way back to 2009 by taking both blood and saliva during arrests against the will of their captives and even from those not convicted of a crime. Remember, our system still at least gives lip service to the idea that we are innocent until proven guilty. Window dressing, I know, but we still so seldom hear it anymore that even the silly idea that your Fourth and Fifth Amendment protected rights exist, it all deserves to be taken out of that dark box on occasion and provided with some fresh air. I tell you that because already this outrage is quickly morphing into DNA abuse, like what's going on in DUI checkpoints down in Florida where they do mandatory blood tests. The argument is that DNA extraction, of course, is no different than taking fingerprints. This response is patently absurd due to the simple fact that fingerprints have no bearing on one's genetic information or manipulation. It is the genetic information of individuals that has been the holy grail of all tyrannies as the end game for their control grip. The current focus on DNA extraction and databasing is a well-known globalist initiative stated plainly by the United Nations to register every newborn's child. This initiative has the full support of globalist and population control advocate Bill Gates, who would like to see a universal birth registry, which would presumably tie in to his universal vaccination program. Additionally, globalist behemoths such as the RAND Corporation have issued documents that identify an interest in biotechnology for the purpose of population reduction, cloning, and I quote, identify, understand, manipulate, improve, and control living organisms, including ourselves, close quote. It is important to note that the technology of tracking, tracing, and databasing innocent people right down to their blood is a top-down directive from federal agencies, not a legitimate scientific endeavor. Legitimate science researches ways to increase human potential and freedom, not to use it as a system for identification and control. With the rise of nanotechnology as a federal initiative, we should strongly resist the collection of our genetic material and biomarkers to be used in any way that government-controlled science sees fit. That's all I have to say on the matter, dear.
Amen, amen, and amen. And, you know, I get so disgusted when I hear, Jenny, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
What does it matter if they're doing this, that, and the other thing? And really, have we gotten that pathetic? Are we that far gone, Jerry?
I think to a large degree, there's a portion of America that has entirely ceded the American mindset over to Bolshevik BS. And I see it creeping into America, and it seems to be doing it in such a frantic manner now that I think we should all be concerned about what's going on. And I'm not sure, I'm not sure what we can do other than get a little bit more belligerent, ask a few more questions, and exert. You know, there's a principle that if you don't exert your rights, you're going to lose them. And yeah. I think we're going to have to get a little bit more hinky or maybe anticipatory and be ready to assert rights rather than to genuflect to those that would abuse them.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jerry. And hopefully, before we really are completely immersed in Brave New World, the plug will be pulled because the funds just won't be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Brave New World, and I'm glad you said that. It's kind of a segue into
all right
piece that I've got.
You think we planned this show, Jerry?
Yeah, almost. Wow. And we did it through mental telepathy. The Southern Poverty Law Center is at it again, folks. They've been demonizing free speech, constitutional ideas, and open, honest debate. Last week, the Southern Poverty Law Center released a report entitled U.S. Hate Groups Top 1000, wherein they lump neo-Nazi skinheads, violent extremists, and constitutional patriots all into the same category. Bless their hearts. The Poverty Center loves to use emotionally charged media buzzwords in order to get their own hate speech heard, using terms like militia, conspiracy theories, and radical right to whip the pundits into a frenzy. They attack things like states' rights, alternative currencies, and the use of local and common law in courtrooms. They consider these ideas extreme, conspiratorial, or flat-out scary, ignoring the very real possibility of an economic implosion that's going on all around us today. Their frantic message is that membership in anti-government extremist groups continues to explode in the United States amid frustration over the lagging economy and the mainstreaming of conspiracy theories. This was all put out in that report that they released last week. After nearly tripling in 2009 in the wake of the nation's first black president, anti-government patriot groups and militias grew another 61% in 2010 to 824, according to the SPLC's report. Regarded by most recipients that even gain notice of the Southern Poverty Law Center as some sort of badge of honor, say, for instance, our own John Stadtmiller, for example, the extremely left-wing SPLC now says that the number of active hate groups purportedly identified by them rose another 7.5% to top 1,000 for the first time since the Montgomery, Alabama subversive group first began tracking them in the early 1980s. Combined with modest growth among anti-immigrant and nativist extremists, the number of radical right extremist groups rose 22% in 2010 to a whopping 2,145 after jumping 40% in 2009 on the heels of the election of the clearly undocumented Barack Obama as president. What might be most remarkable is that this growth of right-wing extremism came even as politicians around the country, blown by gusts from the Tea Parties and other conservative formations, tacked hard to the right, co-opting many of the issues important to these so-called extremists. The report cited a number of cases in which so-called conservative Republicans who made major gains in November's midterm elections are actually pursuing legislation which could help deflate some of the more extreme political forces. Wow, imagine that, dear. You think that the SPLC is worried that constitutional ideology is reasserting itself and somehow the Bolshevik utopia that they envision is being challenged?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, Jerry.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. And you know, when there is a conflict of ideology, I think that good things are very much more likely to happen, particularly since we're talking about moving away in some small manner from some of the socialist, let's see, what was gravy that's been spread across the country. And, you know, I think, I hope, and I pray that what we see come out of this economic quagmire that we're still descending into is going to be the catalyst for the change that we all know needs to come about.
Yeah, exactly. Amen, amen, and amen. Jerry, I wanted to clarify some things that I said on Friday about John Calvin and the Westminster Confession, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Is now a good time?
Well, I know we didn't choreograph that, so why not?
Okay, we did get at least one email from someone, one of our listeners, wanting some clarification. And Rodney and from Illinois and I are both on some level in the PCA. I'm not an actual card-carrying member of the PCA. Was for years. Now I'm a member of a non-denominational church in West End, Georgia. And we attend a fabulous church here in Austin, Texas, which is a member of the PCA. Although there's a few elements about that that kind of surprises me. The pastor at the church that I attend is completely outside the box.
Which church are you talking about here, dear?
Well, I would rather...
The PCA church in Austin or the one here in Atlanta?
The PCA church in Austin.
Well, you lost me there. I thought I'd better ask.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, the PCA church where I attend in Austin. And the pastor's really outside the box. And one of the things I loved was within the first few weeks that we were visiting the church, he had a woman, gasp, get up to the pulpit and talk about 40 Days for Life, which thrilled me to the tips of my toes. And the church was very involved in 40 Days for Life, which is a praying presence in front of prenatal murder mills in Austin, Texas, and all over the country. So anyway, I really love this church, and I am absolutely committed to the idea of Christians coming together once a week to worship together and being a part of a church family. I think it's very important. And the Bible talks about Christians submitting to one another in the Lord, and I think it helps keep you on the straight and narrow when you are answerable to a body of believers. Now, for me personally, I cannot take the oath of membership for the PCA, because I'm not going to vow to God to submit myself to a particular group of men who submit themselves to the writings of men that were not inspired on the same degree by the Holy Spirit as the actual Torah, the Old Testament, and, you know, the New Testament. So what I was saying about the Westminster Confession, and I misspoke in, I think I gave the idea that John Calvin wrote the Westminster Confession. He absolutely did not write the Westminster Confession. The Westminster Confession was written by individuals in late 1500s, early 1600s. And it was the Westminster Assembly Project, the Divines, as they're said, called by people that hold up the Westminster Confession as the standard for codifying, really, law on some level and theology from the Old and New Testaments. These were very great men from their time and very godly men on so many levels. And I absolutely do not hold to everything in the Westminster Confession. I think, you know, it's a good tool as one of many tools to study the scripture. And it's interesting to read perspectives of different individuals. John Calvin was born in July in 1509, I think it was, in France. He was a theologian. The funny part about John Calvin was that he had no degree in theology from an academic institution. He had never submitted to an ecclesiastical examination, both of which were things he considered very important to becoming a pastor, and his followers very quickly regulated all aspects of becoming a preacher, if you will, or a pastor within the Reformed Church. Calvin did a translation of the Bible, the Geneva Bible, of which we have a copy. And it's, we entertain ourselves a little bit reading out of it, because Calvin's liberal uses of terminologies that, I don't know. It really spices.
You're going to have to share now, dear. You're going to have to give us a for instance. Because I have no idea. I've wanted to read the Geneva Bible, and I've not been able to find, what is it, I forget the year, the particular version that I've been wanting to find.
Is it 1599?
Excuse me?
Is it 1599? No, it wouldn't have been 1599.
No, that doesn't sound familiar. If you said it, I could probably recall it. But I've not seen it yet, or if the times that I have seen it, it's been a lot more money than I wanted to spend.
Well, on the next break, I'll trot across the house to the dining room where that section of the library is kept and grab our copy of the Geneva Bible, so I can tell you for sure. Well, the language is just very interesting and entertaining, and the children are highly entertained by the liberal use of things like ass and other such terms that always make everyone chuckle who's under the age of 10. And everyone over the age of 10, I think, privately chuckles. But my point was that, you know, anytime you have this elevation of this codification of law was something that I think humans just love to do. And when Christ had his ministry on earth, you know, the Pharisees would try to entrap him in their codification of Old Testament law. And really, Jesus kept going, you numbskulls, the law was not written so you could manipulate it to feel better about yourself or feel justified or legitimate in whatever it is you're doing. It was written as a protection, really, for the weak on so many instances, and also a revelation of the holiness of God so that we would have a standard by which to recognize our own sinfulness.
And to convict the fallen.
And to convict the fallen. And I think today we have, again, on many levels, this taking of the codification of biblical law and kind of bludgeoning the weak into greater submission. And I like to be free. I like to be free. So if you want to learn more about the Westminster Confession of Faith, I'll tell you a few more details when we come back from this break, and then we're going to move on to other liberty-minded subjects. This is Freedom Frenzy. We'll be back in a moment. Y'all stay tuned.
Have you heard? Proactiv is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-635-1053. Because we're going to let a million people try New Proactiv risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactiv, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactiv, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-635-1053. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactiv plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-635-1053. That's 1-800-635-1053.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
So, dear, did you get back with the Bible?
Yeah, I did. It is the 1599 Geneva Bible. It was a version of the Bible that was overseen by scholars like John Knox and John Calvin. There is some aggressively anti-Catholic rhetoric in this version of the Bible. And, of course, it was written in a time when the church was just besought by murderous Catholic thugs that were, you know, torturing and executing reformers within the church. So that kind of was the background for the Geneva Bible. And it was really a translation that had a revolutionary impact on what was available to people to read, because prior to the Geneva Bible, you just had Luther's German Bible, which was printed in 1534. That was pretty much it. In 1526, William Tyndall had attempted to translate the Bible into English and was forced to flee to Germany, where he incidentally met Martin Luther. Tyndale did publish the first ever mechanically printed New Testament in the English language in 1526. 6,000 first edition copies were smuggled to England and lit a fire that could not be extinguished, which is kind of funny. So this version of the Bible was done between 1557 and 1560. And it was done in Geneva. A number of reformers were involved in the translation, and they worked incredibly hard putting it together. So I think the Geneva Bible is certainly a worthwhile translation. And I think the work of John Calvin, we have, I believe that we have his complete works. And in fact, we have his complete works currently in our house, that were the first edition off the presses. I think in the 1600s, one of the first editions off the presses, and it's a signed owned set of Calvin's works. That set, incidentally, does not belong to us. We were assessing it for a friend of ours. But I think John Calvin's work is very good. I think there's a danger in the church, as there has always been. Even Paul spoke against it, and people saying, I am of Apollos, I am of Paul, I am of Peter. This is not appropriate. I am of John Calvin. You know, we love our...
He's not even on the marquee, is he?
Yeah, he didn't even make it to Paul's letters, poor guy. But, you know, we get entrapped, really, by wanting to make men our idols and put works of men on par with the words of the Lord. So I definitely have a problem with that. But I think it's wonderful when you can draw from these different reformers and read from their work and, you know, use it as an enriching experience to your journey with the Lord, really, through the course of your life. So I think that's all I have to say about that. Okay. Hopefully I've clarified my position.
Or confused it beyond all count. How's that?
Yes, exactly. I get my little umbrage going when John got into the car Sunday morning. He had his Westminster Confession and his Bible. And I said, oh, you're bringing the Westminster Confession to church, and I can't leave home without it. And he goes, yes, honey, I've decided just to bring my Bible a few more times to placate you, but really I've found a better book. And he was laughing, of course. He's part of a Sunday school class studying the Westminster Confession, which is why he was bringing his book. And, you know, I do get riled up about certain problems and errors I see in the church, but I love this church body that we're a part of, and the believers there are just unbelievable in their warmth, and it's a wonderful congregation to be able to see. That said, I'll never be a member of the PCA, but I sure enjoy contributing to the body of Christ that exists as members of the PCA. We're going to cut right into a break, and when we come back, we'll be switching. What's next on the Freedom Frenzy agenda?